Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed. My faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. The world, the ungodly world around us, doesn't think right. And unless you've been renewed in your thinking, you will think like the ungodly world around you and not even notice it because everybody else thinks the same way. But there is a renewing of the mind by the washing of the water of the Word. And what happens is you begin to think God's thoughts. Hallelujah. And when that happens, by hearing His words contain His thoughts. And by the anointing and His words, you see things differently. And you begin to think differently. And that changes everything. We mentioned our confession. I'm learning how to be an overcomer. Learning what to look at, listen to, what to think on, what not to, that's how you learn to be an overcomer. You cannot look at the problem and meditate the problem night and day and be in faith and stay in faith. You can't just focus on lack or pain or failure. And the enemy, that's what he wants you to do. He'll bring thoughts of failure and bad reports and all this stuff to your mind 10,000 times a day if you'll let him. But the Bible said, casting down.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Casting down those imaging, those imaginations. Cast them down. Don't let them stay on you. Throw them down and bring every thought. I mean, grab it by the throat.
Yes.
I say, thought, where'd you come from?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Who? Where'd you come from? Because there's a list.
Yes.
Have you seen in Philippians?
Yes.
Whatever's true,
yes.
Honest, just, pure, love. God gave us a list.
Yes.
And if you look at it, you ain't on the list.
That's right.
An ugly thought.
That's
an ugly thought.
Yes.
What do you do? Slam him. Slam him.
Yes.
Slam him.
Amen.
And the enemy, he's a persistent cuss. I mean, it could be a few minutes or a few hours or a day or two. Here's that thought coming back to you. Uh-uh, grab it. If it was wrong yesterday, still wrong.
Yes.
Slam it. Throw it. And don't just live in a vacuum of throwing that and it's not there. You can't stay there. Fill that place.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Fill your ears and heart and mind with what is right.
Amen.
What God did say about that area. So how can I get in, stay in faith for my provision? I can't just think all the time about what I need.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Or what I don't have. Hmm?
Yes.
Or how in the world am I going to get it? I don't know where. You don't have to know where. You know God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You look to Him. And if you look to Him, quit. Anytime you hear yourself saying, we need this, say, hush. There's no faith in that. I got to have this. There's no faith in that statement. You're focusing on and declaring need. The more you hear how much you need it, the more convinced you are you don't have it. Can you see this?
Yes.
Don't talk that. Don't focus on that. Say what He said. My God shall supply, right? All my needs. We'll have everything we need. And we're going over big.
Amen.
For the Lord.
Amen.
Going over the top.
Yes.
We'll have more than enough.
More than enough.
Well, our point, our 26th reason in our study of 30 reasons why we're sure abundant provisions always God's will for us all is in Mark 16 and 15. And we're calling it fulfilling the Great Commission. We're sure abundant provision is God's will for us all because He gave us all the job, the big job of reaching the world with the gospel.
Amen.
This is a global initiative.
Yes.
Yes.
Reach everybody in the world with the gospel.
Yes.
Well, can we do that with no resources?
No.
No. You got to have a lot of resources. You want to use every available tool, every good tool, every available voice. And anytime you say, well, we want to put something in your newspaper, you know what the next thing's going to be? It costs this much, right?
Yes.
We want to show a 30-minute program on your channel. You know what's coming next? It will be this much per episode, right? We want to have our own meetings and our own place in the community. Well, this property is available.
Yes.
Huh? It costs X amount, right? Is it true or not?
Yes.
Well, we're going to travel over yonder and we're going to have a meeting. Guess what comes next? Your ticket will be. Is that right? And this is how much the rooms are. And this is how much the meals are. Oh, you want to rent a place of your own? Okay. Well, it's this much. And then it's this much. Oh, you want electricity too? Is that right? I mean, does God want us to have all of this? Does He want us to be struggling all the time with it? And it to be just a pressure burden on us until by the time we get there to do it, we're so frazzled from worrying and worn out. And are we going to be able to pay our bill? I don't know. They're coming to take away the podium right now.
Oh.
Better preach fast. No. Cannot be the will of God.
Right.
Cannot be. Somebody say that's not the will of God.
That's not the will of God.
The Great Commission, the main directive from Jesus to the church was Mark 16:15, as we read, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And we saw in Romans 10 that He lays out the sequence of how people get saved. They get saved, He said, how can they get saved? How can they call on the name of the Lord if they hadn't believed? Got to have the believing. How can they believe if they hadn't heard? They got to hear something. How can they hear if there's no preacher? There's got to be preaching. How can they preach unless they are sent? Go into all the world. That's a sending, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the sending involves both the spiritual and the natural. You have to be sent by the Lord. You're sent, authorized by Him, called by Him, anointed by Him. And you know that. That covers a lot of things. Yes, individuals are involved, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but also whole churches and whole ministries, and then all the partners. And the partners can be thousands, hundreds of thousands, can be millions that are called to send this particular part of the gospel, this particular ministry of the Word of God to this particular group, because no one of us or one group can do it all, but we all have our assignments.
Amen.
And these assignments are sendings, spiritual sendings and natural, financial, material sendings. Now we saw, I want you to look there again in Titus, the third chapter. We're seeing language that sometimes is overlooked. We need to remind ourselves every word in this Bible, in every one of these epistles, every one of these gospel accounts, all of these, every word is divinely inspired and eternally significant. And so there are no nothing filler phrases. Hi, how y'all doing? Bye, see y'all later. You know, now, why am I saying that? Because I think sometimes people read these epistles and they get down to where he's saying, greet this one and greet that one. They go, ah, he's basically done talking. You know, no, he's not done talking. This wouldn't be in here if there weren't reason for it. And we're seeing some of that in our study right now, aren't we? Because he says, sometimes he says, after talking about doctrine about some things. He'll talk about travel. And he'll talk about his plans for what's next. And he uses phrase like, brought on my way by you. That's not an accident that that's there. That's revelation to us. Every succeeding generation, how things are supposed to work. In Titus 3 and 13, he said, bring Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently. So he's not just talking about people helping him travel. Can you see that?
Yes.
This is the broader body.
Yes.
This is, he's telling them, you need to get involved with what they're doing on this particular thing. And you'll find that godly people and mature spiritually people, they're that way. It's not always about them.
Right.
They're not trying to build their kingdom.
Right.
They're involved in building the kingdom.
Amen.
Of God that involves all of these ministry gifts and all of these churches and parts. And he said, bring them on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting to them. The Weist says it like this, diligently set forward on their journey in order that not even one thing be lacking to them. We saw one translation of the passage in Acts that talked about this, brought on our way. Use the word outfitted.
Yes.
Outfitted. Well, if you're going on a journey, what's one of the first things you do?
Pack.
Somebody said pack. Why you pack? Right? You're going to need some stuff. Can't wear the same shirt the rest of the month. Right? Shouldn't. And, of course, you got to get there. So there has to be plans, arrangements. How am I going to get there? Back then, it was ships. And so he spent a lot of time on ships. And with all kind of issues too. you think it's tough because you had to wait in line for a while at the airport. That ain't like bobbing up and down like a cork in the ocean for 3 days and nights. Sometimes I can almost hear Paul the apostle saying, Keith, if I had what you had, you know, the resources. But each generation has what they have. You know, boy, we got some tools today, don't we?
Oh, yes.
We don't just have to bump around on a donkey.
Yes.
Airplanes. Woo, somebody say airplanes. And of course, cars and automobiles and trucks and internet. How about internet? Woo, internet. And all of these things. There's a lot of bad stuff on the internet, but I'm convinced one of the main reasons man got the technology to understand how to do this is because in the last days you need it.
Yes.
To get it, the gospel,
yes,
everywhere.
Yes.
Like this. And so anything can be used, you know, for good or bad. But he said, diligently, that not one thing be lacking. The Living Bible says it like this. This is Titus 3:13, Living Bible. Do everything you can. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Now that's his way. That's how he translated the Greek words for diligently.
Mm-hmm.
Do everything you can to help Zenos the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they are given everything they need. The reason I keep talking about this is not just, oh yeah, let's help them, here's some money, hope you do good. No, it's more heart involved.
Right.
Can you see this?
Yes.
Wanting this to be successful.
Right.
Right? What are we wanting? We're wanting people to hear the gospel.
Yes.
We're wanting people to get saved.
Yes.
We want people to come back to God.
Yes.
We want people to get their answers in God.
Yes.
And get delivered. And get restored, right? And get healed.
Yes.
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 So what? We not only want these preachers to get there, and not just them, their team, right? But It's not just getting there. What kind of condition will they be in when they get there? Right? Because there's travel and then there's travel.
Yes.
Huh? There's first class and then there's back of the bus. Right? Man, I don't know if you remember or not, but I flew a bunch commercially, even international, back in the early 80s and all through there and later. They still smoked in the plane back then on international trips. Can you imagine sitting in a cloud of cigarette smoke for 5 hours in the back of the plane, jammed in between three other people? I've done it. I've done it many, and wasn't able to speak. My voice was gone when I landed. And I just a side thought on that. I kept saying, "I can't take this cigarette smoke." Huh? I can't. And I'd lost my voice two or three times doing that. And the Lord said, "Did you hear yourself? I can't take this cigarette smoke." And sure enough, I had gotten to where I couldn't take it. It was shutting me down. Now, to this day, I don't enjoy breathing cigarette smoke, but I can handle whatever I need to, and the Lord can sustain me. And when I changed my words, that was the last time.
Hallelujah.
Because I was able to do, and thankfully, not too long after that, they stopped that, so we don't have to do that anymore. But you know, the world's an imperfect place, and you have to deal with a number of things that are not ideal. Just sometimes in getting from one place to the other, believe God and stay hooked and watch your mouth.
Yes.
Huh? That's why, as you do like me, cause yourself a problem you don't have to have. Look with me in Romans, the 15th chapter. So we've seen four or five places now already where he talks about bring us on our way diligently, the language brought by you forward on our journey. And listen to this. In Romans 15, you'll see the very same phrase, but then it's connected with some wonderful things here in the latter part. Romans 15 and 20, he says, "Whenever I take my journey into Spain," so here we got a trip to Spain, "I will come to you." I'm going to come see you. "I trust to see you in my journey." So the journeys are the going. "And to be brought on my way there," thitherward. Now, when's the last time you used that in a sentence? I mean, basically, there. There where? Spain. He said, "I'm going to Spain, but I'm coming to you first. And I trust to see you and then to be brought on my way there by you. If first I be somewhat filled with your company." And just a side thought here, there's a point where people have had too much of your company and you need to leave before you get to that. Before you get to that place. Either way. Listen to the New Living, translation in verse 20. New Living says, "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard." And should all the church be interested in that?
Yes.
That was 2 week class. I said, should all the church
yes.
always be thinking about these people have never heard the gospel? We got to get it to them, right? How do we get it to them? And he said that was something that drove him every day of his life. You know, he would, I'm sure they had some maps of the day, although over on the western part of the world, it might have just been a dragon or something. don't go there. But there was the known world. And, you know, I do this. There's a lot of times I look at maps and I think about, well, what's there and how would you go there? And I'm a pilot, so I'll also think that way. But a lot of times over the years, that has turned into a trip. that I found out something about it and what's going on with those people. What's the church doing over there? How are they doing? You know? And I'm not everybody's cup of tea per se, but well, if they need a good dose of faith,
yes.
huh? Yeah. I'm available. So, and so there have been times when that's exactly what happened. And so he is looking at the known world of that time, and man, he did it. With the limited travel that they had, he did it. He went to the known world. And there were times he said, all right, we're there. The gospel has been preached all over Asia. Over the whole area. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we're still talking about him today.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes,
and these trips and these accomplishments, he took to heart the Great Commission and the main directive. He lived it. And he said, I have been following the plan spoken of in the scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about him will see. And those that have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in these other places. These places. He said, I told you I'm coming, and I'm coming. But I had a meeting over here. And then these folks hadn't heard the gospel either. And so, but now I have finished my work in these regions. Now that doesn't mean that was the end of God's work there. Because, you know, now it's time for churches.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Pastors and outreaches and teaching and all that kind of thing. But his work was foundational, to lay a foundation, preach the gospel. Said, I'm eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain. And when I do, I'll stop off in Rome after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while. You can provide for my journey. Hmm? And he's, if you read the rest of his writings, he's not the kind to ask for things. You'll see that the church at Corinth, he said they pled with him to let them get in on that certain offering of the poor saints at Jerusalem. They saw it as a privilege. You're going to let me help underwrite this. And if you think right, that's how you see it. Because you know this life's going to soon be over. How many think there's some really serious spiritual dividends from the people that helped Paul preach the first gospel in the first? God will never forget that. Huh? That reward is never going away or fading. And all those people have been dead for centuries and centuries and centuries. You think they regret that little bit of money? Uh-uh. How should we think in our life right here, right now? He said in the Weeks translation, he says, whenever I journey to Spain, I'm hoping to see you as I journey through and by you be furnished with the necessities of travel to that place. Now skip down to verse 28. He said, when I have performed this and I have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you, again, you're sending me to Spain, and I'm sure that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Does the gospel come with full blessing?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Does that include full provision?
Yes.
Real quick, go to 3 John. Just one chapter, you know, in 3 John. 3 John 6. He said, and that's through 8, he said, beloved, you're doing a good work of faith. In what you, this is the Weeks translation, in what you're performing for the brethren, whom you are doing well to provide with the necessities of travel, assuming the responsibility for their expenses on their journey in a manner worthy of God. King James says, after a godly sort. Should we not only underwrite these things, but should we send people first class?
Amen.
Should we send them first rate?
Yes.
With good stuff.
Yes.
Not junk.
Yes.
Good materials.
Yes.
good places to have meetings, good sound system. Come on, y'all with me. Good travel, the best, the good. Is there anything on the planet more important going on? Does there need to be mind renewal about this in the church? But can you see why I'm talking about this? Is this another reason why we can be sure? Abundant provision has got to be God's will. Is that right? For all of us, because we need all of this underwritten and provided for in every generation, getting stronger, going further, because one of these days it's going to be the end. It's going to be done. The trumpet's going to sound. It's going to be no more traveling and journeying and preaching the gospel. Let's do it while we can.
Amen.
Let's strike while the iron's hot, right? Let's make hay while the sun shines.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our time's up. Say, I live by faith.
I
walk by faith.
I
overcome
the
world by faith.
I'm strong in faith.
Giving glory to God.
Giving glory to God.
We'll see you next time. Isn't it good news to know that God really does want you to have all your bills paid and all your needs met and more than enough to do what He calls you to do in His work? I always like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. And you know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, and that's talking about the things you need in this world, place to stay, food to eat, all that kind of thing. He said they will be added to you when you put Him first. So check your heart, look at your things. Don't put God's things last after you've paid your things and done all the fun things you want to do. Put His things first. Take a serious look at tithing and offerings, and do that before you do the other things. And the Bible said God Himself will add all these other things to you. Father, I speak over our partners, and we together determine to put You first and seek You first, Your kingdom, Your gospel, Your church, Your things, and You are faithful. And I decree plenty and progress and increase over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Believing for it, send in your testimony. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.